Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
The UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer has been visiting Belfast today, where he's been meeting with police officers involved in responding to the recent street violence in Northern Ireland. Meanwhile, the UUP are searching for a new leader following the resignation of Doug Beattie today. In a statement announcing his resignation, he said it's now clear that some believe within the party that the momentum needed to keep the party moving in the right direction cannot come from me. Well, for the latest on this, I'm joined by Belfast-based journalist Amanda Ferguson. You're very welcome, Amanda, to the programme. Let's deal with Keir Starmer's visit, first of all. Who's he been talking to? Who's he been meeting?
Good afternoon, Cormac. Yes, there's nothing like a quiet Monday. The Prime Minister has spent half a day in Belfast, so he's left now. He spoke to reporters, although it was a press conference that was limited to five questions, so not everybody got to scrutinise what he was saying. He said he had three points to make. One, that he wanted to be in Belfast to meet and say thank you to frontline PSNI officers. He also wanted to meet with senior PSNI leadership and then also speak to communities most directly impacted and most in fear and anxiety. So I think that it will be reassuring for members of the Black and minority ethnic and Muslim community to hear the Prime Minister say that the street disorder was intolerable and clearly racist, because I think there's been a bit of discomfort about perhaps some of the lackluster responses from other politicians. The Prime Minister wasn't able to provide clarity on funding issues for the police or what other support could be provided, and there was no clarity either on funding for casement park. However, Keir Starmer was very clear that those stories that have been circulating that Sue Gray, his chief of staff, has been inappropriately using her influence with regard to Casement Park is complete nonsense, as he said, and that it was a political decision.
Can we go back to the policing for a second and the policing challenges faced by the police in Northern Ireland over the last little while? We know help was required from the Scottish police force recently, so I just wonder how that'll be tackled from a political point of view.
Yeah, well, the you know, mutual aid isn't uncommon. You know, it's obviously whenever you require riot ready officers, you can't just pluck them from behind a desk in a station somewhere across Northern Ireland. So, that was perhaps more so to give those officers who had been involved with the street disorder a bit of respite. And I know that the PSNI was very grateful for that. John Boucher's been very clear on multiple occasions that the PSNI doesn't have the number of officers that it needs, and that it doesn't have the budget that it needs either. So we're stuck in this sort of loop where John Boucher goes to Stormont and says, we don't have enough money. Can you give us more money? Then Stormont says to the UK government, we need more money. And the UK government comes back and says, well, this is a devolved issue in policing, and the discussions continue. In the last few minutes, the chair of the Policing Federation in Northern Ireland, Liam Kelly, the Policing Federation sort of represents rank and file officers, has said that he told the Prime Minister that Stormont is a major part of the policing problem, as he put it. Mm-hmm. He said that this was a short but very productive meeting with the Prime Minister and our new Secretary of State, Hilary Benn. Both met with student officers as well as officers injured during the last few weeks. Their presence, empathy and expression of gratitude for the difficult work of our officers was greatly appreciated. We used the opportunity to tell it as it is. We are starved of resources and officer numbers are depleting at an unsustainable rate. And he went on in that regard and then said it was regrettable. Our Stormont government is not doing enough to fight our corner. So obviously it's political and there's a lot of pressure there, but really you can't magic the money out of nowhere, and whenever it comes down to how the police are going to be resourced, it does have to come from Stormont, but that money does have to come from Westminster. So until we get a breakthrough on that, I think we're just going to be going round in circles.
Okay, an ongoing political quibble there. Can we talk about Doug Beattie for a second? He's resigning as leader of the UUP, and he referred in a statement, Amanda, I don't know what you make of this, to irreconcilable differences with others within the party. What's going on?
Yeah, well, Doug Beattie was asked previously to be the Ulster Unionist Party leader and he turned it down. And then whenever he did accept it in May of 2021, he did make clear to the party the direction of travel that he wanted to take the Ulster Unionist Party. It was very clear that he was perhaps more liberal-minded, more progressive, wanted and recognised that unionism isn't in its sort of dominant days, that unionism has to start to try to appeal outside of itself. And it was very clear that he was aware of that. Now, he didn't always get everything right, he was criticised for some of the decisions that he's made, but it was very clear that there's an internal problem there in that he felt that he wanted to lead the party a certain way and that there are some people that just couldn't be led. And I think it came to a head there when Robin Swan won the Westminster seat for the Ulster Unionist Parties, which is obviously a positive and a boost for the party. However, the candidate that replaced him up at Stormont wasn't Doug Beattie's pick, and I think he felt his position was unsustainable after that. So I've been talking to Ulster Unionist Party sources today, and they have said that depending on what happens next, if there is just one person that comes forward to say that they would like to be the leader and the party agrees to that, it could be a very straightforward, quick process. However, if more than one person throws their hat in the ring, then you're into a full contest.
Okay, it prolongs it. It's a difficult time for unionism, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You know, this is 2024. It's not 1974. Nobody has an inbuilt majority anymore. You know, the idea that Sinn Féin would be the largest party in Northern Ireland would have been unthinkable 50 years ago. We're in a different political landscape. The demographics across the island are changing. And I think that union of people message that Doug Beattie was trying to promote, while he didn't always get it right around perhaps around Gaelic games or perhaps around, Irish language or so on, there was a sense that he was perhaps more aware than other unionist leaders of the need for unionism to try and start to appeal outside of itself. So it'll be interesting to see who is picked next. I've been reading through some of the analysis from some commentators, and you know, there are some people who've been leader before who have no interest in being leader again. Some people suggesting that perhaps Mike Nesbitt might like to give it another go, the current health minister. There's a suggestion that Robbie Butler, the deputy leader of the party, may want to, but I'm not sure whether he would get the backing or not. I haven't seen very many people speculate about any women's names being in the frame. However, Jill McCauley's the chair of the party, but perhaps if the Ulster Unionists weren't ready for the progressive nature of Doug Beattie, they may not be ready for a woman at the helm either.
Well, it's a big question mark now for the UUP. Will they go for a leader that will make them more hardline, or if they'll be more open in terms of their leadership style and policy and so on. Anyway, interesting times. And Amanda Ferguson, thank you very much indeed.